Morning, everyone.
Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of the Connected and Committed podcast.
Welcome to our apartment in Firenze.
Firenze, yes.
You can see the background.
So much is different right now. What we're praying for is that AI does this thing and it can help us make this podcast sound like it's in the studio, because right now we're recording from our phone.
Yeah, so everything is from our phone. We forgot the mics,
the podcast mics. So the next 2 weeks is going to be, we're going to really see if AI does what it says it's going to do.
I feel like it's fine though.
I think it'll be fine.
I think honestly, the quality of the mics on iPhone is pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. It just makes the round sound, but I think it can help with that.
Yeah, the only thing is, obviously, this room is big. The ceiling is really high.
It's huge.
So that's going to be more echo. And even the windows are not the best with sound.
Yeah.
So there might be, like, parasite. Is that, like parasite sound or whatever? Like,
I don't know. I don't mean to...
It sounds like you want to hear from the street, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think, we should be able to work on that.
So hopefully you feel like you're in Florence with us, and maybe that's going to be an added benefit
maybe
to listening or watching us. It's like, we're in Florence, Italy, and that's fun.
That's fun. It is fun. I love it here. It's really, I'm a huge fan of Italy for sure.
Me too. It's our second time.
The pizza, pasta, and gelato, and I'll be happy. I'm a happy girl. tiramisu, sorry.
Yeah, today we got to try some affogato.
Yes. So a couple weeks ago, I did ask our Instagram community if they had any podcast topics they want us to discuss, since we took a week off that week. And so we got a really good conversation I think will be fun to talk about. The statement was interactions with the opposite gender while in a relationship, which I know this person a little bit more because she's in another community we're part of. And she went more in depth about this question. So I think this will be, I'm actually intrigued talking about this because it's something that I have dealt with too, for sure. And it's still something that I have to be wary of and be more intentional with. But, what I want to start out with is kind of asking, I'm going to ask you and I'll bring it for me, but what were you taught growing up about opposite genders? Like just being like being things you didn't grow up in a church community. So I'm curious if that makes a difference or not, but.
I mean, I did enough of my life in church that, I did probably most of my life in church now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy to think of.
That is crazy. I'm wondering, because the time period that I grew up in church was literally, I grew up in church, right? And so my, the big foundations of what I learned in my view came from church and came from, my family too, of course, but... all of my life I've been taught certain things when it came to opposite genders and different relationships. And so my formative years were taught a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if it's different for you since your formative years weren't. But I'm curious, what were you taught growing up about opposite genders and how to interact with them and what was appropriate, what was not appropriate?
I wasn't really taught anything, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, for my parents, I don't feel like I was taught anything specific. I feel like my parents were more like, let them figure it out on their own. Let them do their thing. Mm. And they will just figure it out. Mm. I feel like obviously what it was taught was mostly just by the interactions I was seeing between my mom and my dad.
Okay.
You know, like that's mostly, and then I had a sister, obviously.
Yeah.
And it was mostly growing up until I was 17, that it was just my sister. And that's kind of, just hearing people at school, nothing crazy, nothing disrespectful. For me, girls were just girls and boys were just boys, and I had girlfriends, and you know what I mean? Like, basic childhood, I think. Except when I was 6 years old, I had like six girlfriends at the same time.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that was okay, but...
That was not okay. It wasn't okay. And I think that's where I didn't think much of it, but if I was a parent and I heard my boy had six girlfriends, I'd be like, okay, we need to talk.
Yeah.
That's not how relationships are. It's not how they should be.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in committing to one person. So I guess that's probably one way that I was taught about the opposite gender. And then obviously I went to church, and that was a whole different thing, because there it was mostly like, well, first of all, dating was forbidden
Yeah.
in my religious church. And so the opposite gender, like, it was about seeing them as like sisters in Christ. You know, it's like, oh, they're sisters, and nothing more. But it's not always easy to see it like that, because it's not, you know, the experience I had with sisters in Christ is that we oftentimes would develop feelings for each other.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, I think there's more to say about that, but I guess that's kind of like the whole story for me.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Because I think similar has some similarities for sure. But I think growing up, I was really taught the separation of boys and girls, like the separation of like I'm a girl, I'm very much a girl, and I'm very much a girl who can cause a man to stumble. And like, and I'm not like bagging the church at all. Like we very much are still, we love the church and we love Christianity and we love God. So I want to like preface that, but just in the sense of things I was taught, I think could have gone about in a different way. Because I was told just pretty much just like your job is not to let men stumble, and your job is to do whatever you can to prevent that from happening. Wear your long shirts, be very modest, do all your things.
Wear your long shirts.
Yeah, long shirts, swimming. I know those of group of the church know what I'm talking about, because that was something. We went to water park. Girl, I was wearing like literally a t-shirt that was covering my whole swimsuit. So I was going down to my shorts, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, don't stumble.
Same for
And
me. My church, because I remember with the youth group, we were not a big youth group, and let's say like me, my sister, and two other friends, we were like kind of the first youth in the church, and so there's a lot of things that we wanted to do, but then like usually the leaders of the church were like, oh no, like you're gonna stumble, like you can't go to the swimming pool together, like
Yep.
you're gonna see other girls in their swimsuits, and you're gonna stumble and things like that. So we would never do anything like that. It's just sad. But it was just a really also intense church of like, we couldn't, they didn't even want us, let's say we're just friends, you know, in church. They didn't want us to go to like eat together as a group at McDonald's
Yeah,
without a
wow.
leader.
That's so interesting.
Because it's like,
Happening as a
oh, you're gonna
monitor.
develop, like, you know, there's no supervision. You might develop feelings for someone.
But I think that's the thing for me too. I remember growing up, all the close guy friends I had a crush on them. And again, it was just kind of like I didn't know how to have like normal interaction with my guy friends, because I don't think I was taught that. It was always just like if you're with a guy, it was kind of like the interactions that you're gonna have with them, it could lead you liking them, and then that's not okay. Or if that does happen, you need to prevent that from happening. And I just didn't know how to have healthy guy friendships at all. They didn't teach that at all in growing up at all. Like it was very much just like guys struggle with this, girls struggle with this. Girls, you're over here, guys over here. We actually separated when we were in kids' church, guys sat on this side and girls sat on this side. Like it very much was like, unless you're family, you don't interact with men. And it was always super weird for me. I didn't know how to like, I think I confuse sometimes I really like this person as a person, to being like, I think I like them. Like I have a crush on them. Like it was just like I didn't know how to have something normal happen there. And so if you fast forward to now as an adult, obviously I don't have a crush on my guy friends, but I think there still is something of this, like my formative years was if you talk to a guy, you could potentially have feelings for them. So how do you make sure you don't come off in that way? And so I always overthink, and then it kind of just becomes this very weird thing throughout my whole like adult friendships. I have had one really close guy friend, and we never liked each other, and I really appreciate that. He was a really good friend, and he still is. And I think as I went to BSSM, it was different. But throughout my life, it was always this complicated thing of when I see a guy, attractive or not, your goal is to make sure they don't think that you like them. And so that's always really conflicting for me.
So what do you think you should do?
Well, I think that this is just one, I want to just bring this awareness in that too, because I think that there's a lot of people just who interact with us, just with our courses, our membership, or whatever, who bring this topic up of like, if I find someone attractive, I always overthink. I don't know how to have a conversation with somebody who's the opposite gender, whether I think they're attractive or not, because there's just this like this block that comes up, you know? And I think that one, I do think it comes from how we're taught. I don't know. I'm not going to assume. I'm sure people who aren't in these circles, Christian circles, for example, this might still come up. But I think that what we need to address too is not even the fact that we're in this interaction. It's the fact that we're overthinking the interaction in the first place of like, I'm in a conversation. I'm having a conversation with a guy. Cool. I'm not even going to think if they think I like them or not, because why is that even important here? I'm just trying to make a friendship, or I'm just trying to develop more of like I'm just talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think there's a lot to say though.
Yeah, go about ahead. This.
No, I think that a girl and a guy, like if you're talking about real friendship with the opposite gender, there has to be boundaries.
Sure.
Because I think that if you're, this is what I think. I think that if you're both attractive people and you vibe well and your friends, there's no boundaries, I think it probably is going to evolve into something more romantic. Like there's going to be feelings that are going to develop at some point. If there's no boundaries.
Okay. And I think that that's important too. I think there's two different levels of that. One is in the sense of I'm just like, I'm overthinking my interactions just because I'm freaked out about something.
So you're talking about are you talking about a friendship with the opposite gender or just basic interactions?
Just even basic interactions. Sorry. Okay. I think that's more interactions, but then we, as couples, we have friends that are other people, and that's fine. But I think too, sometimes in those interactions, it's kind of like it can feel like, oh my gosh, like how do I behave? I don't want it. Those things still come up even if there's no intention there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just being very vulnerable here too. Sometimes that shows up with me of I could not even think the person's attractive, but sometimes when I'm interacting with other men, if you're in my friend group right now, this is not pertaining to you. But just in general, I think that I can sometimes be like, okay, how do I interact with you in a way that feels normal? Because I think I'm still weird about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When it's super innocent and nothing's ever going to happen with it, it just sometimes comes up because of my own. It's like my little girl self was super awkward with boys. And as an adult version, it still shows up.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. Because I think even for me, it was kind of similar too. Like I felt like with a lot of girls in the past, when I was being nice, I wasn't necessarily trying anything,
mm-hmm.
but then they would like start liking me.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then I would start liking them because I also had insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone liking me was making me feel good. And then you have this attachment because, whoa, it feels nice to have someone who likes me.
Yeah.
But before that, I didn't have any intention. And I was just like being nice and being myself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just like me. So, but I don't, to be honest, I'll say this, I'm not 100% sure, you know, how to prevent that or like how to navigate that better. Like, cause even us, whenever we become parents and we have a kid and they're at that age, we'll have to talk with them. I think that there's something that needs to be said about, you know, understanding that, like I said, if you want to have a friendship with the opposite gender, if you don't have boundaries, it's not going to work out well for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that like you have to like establish boundaries as soon as like you meet someone or whatever. And I'm not even saying that those boundaries are about like the relationship. It can just be boundaries about yourself,
mm-hmm.
the things that you restrain yourself from doing because you're with the opposite gender. Maybe it's about like the level of vulnerability that you can have with that person, emotional vulnerability, the amount of physicality that you can have with the opposite gender as well. Yeah. You know, I think that's really important to talk about that. When it comes to like normal interactions, like you said, I think probably a lot of it is coming from your head, coming out of the meaning that you make of things. I think that you shouldn't assume that because a guy is nice to you, he's into you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's not...
Yeah, yeah.
That's not... Or the opposite, obviously. If a girl is nice to you, that doesn't mean she's into you. You know what I mean? Like, they're nice people. Yeah.
You know? If you get along with somebody, doesn't mean that there's something there, or that you're thinking something more, or they're thinking something more.
And there are nice people everywhere. There are charismatic people everywhere. There's attractive people everywhere. But it's not because someone is being nice to you that it means anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just... I mean, thank God, you know, thank God that there are nice people everywhere, and then you can interact with someone and have a good time with someone without it meaning anything.
Yeah.
You know, now, of course, and I think it's important to talk about that, whenever you're in a relationship, you need to have boundaries with yourself when it comes to interacting with the opposite gender. Because like us, for example, we're married, and obviously, like, there's something that we decided to do is like we, unless maybe obviously we don't know every situation in the world, we don't know, you know, what life is going to be, but on like a normal regular life, we do not like have one-on-ones with someone who's the opposite gender, even if it's a friend. That's something that you and I decided to do, and then not because we don't trust each other or even the person that they're going to hang out with, it's just principle of like, we're married as a man and a woman. This is the only friendship of the opposite gender that really matters, and that we want to protect and maintain and grow. And if there's a friend from the opposite gender, I'm not saying that like, oh, you can't see him, you can't interact with him. She has friends from the opposite gender that are amazing people and that I actually really like as well. But I also know that. And she told me that because at first I remember like I was like, yeah, it's fine if you go see him because he was thinking about someone specific. And that's fine. But then you came to me and were like, I think I don't want to do that anymore. And it wasn't because you thought that you were going to have feelings for him.
No.
I think it was just because there was something honoring about that of like.
Yeah, I wanted to honor you. I think it was just kind of like, okay. When I was single, I could do it. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Even when we were, like, dating, not like, whatever. But it was just kind of like, now that we're married, I never want, if somebody were to look outside and see, like, oh, hey, Joy is with blank by himself, for example. I don't want there to even be any perception. Like, and that's just something for me, period. I think like, my parents have never done that. They've always just, like, they've met people together. It was just something that, it just kind of, like, we come as a package now, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm my own person, and so are you.
Yeah.
But I would want to only always honor you and never feel like there's, like, oh, I'm meeting with blank, blank, see you later. Like, okay. Like, you know, why? Like, they can be your friends, too. And it just didn't feel, it was just kind of like, I can do this if I was single, but for me, personally, I just don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to, and it's okay. It's my own personal preference. Maybe not everybody wants to do that, and that's totally fine. But I just never, ever want to leave any room for even perception on anyone's end, to be honest. Like, I think that was really just my thing.
That's good.
And so naturally, right now, of course, like, the only guy friends I have really are going to be friends for you, with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, just as you were saying too, the goal, what we have to do is not read into every single thing that your mind wants to make meaning out of. So, for example, if you're talking to a guy, you're in a relationship and you're talking to a guy, like, whether you, maybe you work at a place and you're interacting with a coworker or whatever, your perception is this person is a nice person. I'm a nice person. This is as far as, like, don't even jump and like, oh my gosh, does that mean something? Are you're not trying to convince anybody of anything because you know who you are, and you don't have to make meaning out of every thought that comes in your head. You know what I mean? And I think that we do. And that's where the problem is. That's where it gets awkward. Like, oh my gosh, like, how do I interact with you? It's like, I just interact with you like I would interact with anybody else. Because I don't like you. You don't like me. We're allowed to have conversations and not feel like it needs to be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's I'm speaking for myself too. Because I know that for some reason at times it'll show up. And it's like, why did that show up right now? I don't know why. Like, this won't happen for months, for years. And suddenly I'll have an interaction with somebody and I'm like, oh, it's like I'm overthinking it. I'm like, why am I overthinking it? I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I think, again, as you're saying, it really just comes to this thought of whatever, don't even overthink whatever's coming up in your mind right now. Just be yourself and have a conversation. But I think it's kind of this thing of this really awkward, really, really awkward, sheltered, Christian African girl version of me comes up, and then I'm suddenly like, I don't know how to, I don't know how to talk to you. And it's really weird, and it's like awkward and uncomfortable at times for me.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely something that parents should teach their kids.
I think that's, yeah.
And I think that's something that I thought about earlier. Something that I think parents need to do better with is also just teaching their kids about, you know, romantic relationships and feelings and things like that, because I wasn't taught about that, and that was kind of seen and even in my church it was kind of seen as like something that was not good to have feelings for someone, because to have feelings for someone you needed to be ready for marriage, blah blah blah. This thing of like, you need to avoid having feelings, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's another layer of pressure, because like we said, you're a kid. You have not been taught about friendships with the opposite gender. You have not been taught about relationships with the opposite gender. Yeah. It's like, what am I, like, so how do I learn? You know, like, and the only way I learn is by trial and error, you know?
Watching TV.
Watching TV, whatever, or social media, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you get the information you want and need wherever you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that, you know, being, let's say your kid comes and is like, oh, I think I like this girl. Well, I want my kids to tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, and obviously I don't want to tell them, oh, that's not good. You want to marry her? Are you ready for marriage? No, I wouldn't say that. I was like, okay. Well, that's, you know, I want to be like, okay, that's okay. Like, that's a normal thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about what we can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what would you like to do about those feelings?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Do you want to pursue a relationship with that person? Okay, let's talk about that. Because that's something else, obviously, because as a father, I need to see if that's a good person or not.
Sure. But also, if we're talking about, like, our kid being, like, 8 years old and having feelings, I think
that's different, obviously. No one
ever tended to that growing up for me at all, you know?
And that's different, obviously. But obviously, even at that point, it's like, okay, like, let's talk about boundaries. Let's talk about what is okay and not okay, you know? But even just... Because I do think that it's trickier to teach about friendships with the opposite gender unless they're older. You know, when they're a little kid, like, you can... For me... I'm not really in the place where I know exactly what I'm going to tell my kids.
Sure, that's okay. I don't have a kid.
Yeah. You know? But I do think that there's things to say, like you said, you know, about not making meaning out of things, not entertaining thoughts that... Because that's something that people like to do, obviously. It's like you like to create this world of magic where... You know, this means something, and this means they like me, and this means that.
Yeah.
And it's not the case, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you start growing feelings for something that's not even real.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's so true. That's real. And I think there's... If you are somebody who's, like, an adult, of course you're listening to this, you're probably an adult, and has that discomfort around opposite gender for people in general, friendships or whoever... I think I'm just gonna make a hypothesis leap, just in the sense that there probably was not this like safety in conversations of how to like have healthy friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't have that until I was an adult, which is, I think, is sad. No one taught me how to do that. And unfortunately my church didn't either. And I think that there's this thing of friendships, just even saying interactions in general, like you can have healthy interactions with people without feeling like it needs to, feeling like they're thinking something or that you're thinking it's going anywhere, period. You know what I mean? Like, it's normal. And I think that the more that we, like, it's kind of like prepping yourself of, I'm going to have interactions with people. I know where I stand. If honestly, if they want to make their own assumption, that's not on me, but I know where I stand and I'm not going to make this be like, I'm just not going to overthink this thing. And if you notice yourself kind of shutting down or freaking out, go take a break, go outside and just kind of like, I just think you need to prep ourselves a little bit more of this really isn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that we make it a big deal, then it kind of freaks us out, you know, when it's just like, if we don't overthink things, then these things can just kind of like roll off our back of like, oh yeah, I'm having a conversation with a person, not a big deal. Okay. Like, I'm chill, you're chill.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Like, you're fine. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. I just think there's something that's kind of needs to be prepped a little bit more of tending to that, like, really freaked out part of, like, oh my gosh, I'm having an interaction with a boy. This is scary and this is freaky. And it's like, no, it's really not. It's like a normal thing. And I think in the future, whenever we have a child, that's something where I really want to help them, if it comes up for them, of course, of how to be okay with having healthy friendships that are with people. Yeah. Like, with, like, obviously our friends, the goal is to have friends have babies with them at the same time. And then we can all just, like, teach them at the same time of, like, hey, go to auntie's house, whatever. And they're going to be your, like, they're kind of like your brother, not really, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
cousin.
This is going to be, like, how to have healthy friendships. We're going to do things together. So they're going to know how to have it in a really healthy way. I just wasn't taught that. So if that's something you freaked out about now or notice that shows up for you right now, know that, one, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm. I think that you just weren't taught how to do that well growing up, but it's not too late to learn now. It isn't. And so if there's somebody in your life that you're, maybe, I don't know, if there's something like that shows up right now, or if you're ever in those interactions, I kind of just want to give some practical tools, maybe that would be like, even one or two, that I feel like, okay.
Practical tools? Well, honestly, okay, I feel like there's something to say about the people who are in relationships and, like, freak out about interacting with the opposite gender in general. It's like, I think that a lot of people freak out because they don't trust themselves.
Mm.
And they feel bad for finding someone else attractive or whatever. And that's a whole other topic, obviously. But I do want to say, in the same, like, context, in the same message of, like, don't start making meaning out of thoughts that are not worth, like, dwelling on.
Yeah.
'Cause it's the same thing as we said before. There's nice people everywhere. There's attractive people everywhere. And there's charismatic people everywhere. And that's okay. And that's normal. And that's okay, even if you're in a relationship, to find another person interesting or to find another person attractive or whatever. Because you need to trust yourself with the fact that you have self-control. You know, like, you have self-control. And it's not because someone you're curious about something or someone else that it means that you don't love your partner or that person is better than your partner. Like, that doesn't mean any of that. Like, just don't make more meaning about those thoughts. Like, they're not worth it, and they're dangerous, to be honest. Like, if you start giving into that, it might lead to other things that you are actually trying to avoid by making meaning out of those thoughts or freaking out about them. So I didn't want to say that. But for me, you know, practical tools.
I think you just gave some really good ones.
Yeah.
I do. So okay. I think that there's, again, if we're talking about making meaning, sometimes the thought comes up of, like, oh my gosh, this person, we get along better than I get along with my boyfriend. Oh my gosh. And I freak out. I was like, stop. Like,
based on one interaction.
Yeah.
Or
just based off of, who knows, something that they did.
Level.
Like, oh, I think he's so funny.
Yeah.
I think my partner's funny. Like, so we have to stop those thoughts and just be like, take it for face value. This person's funny. Done. Like, you know what I mean? This person, I really like the way that he
dresses.
Done. I love the way that he prays. Done. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know, but you know. Let's be honest.
If you say that you love the way someone else prays, please, that is not the way to pick someone as a partner.
But let's be honest, some people do, and that's, anyway.
That is so surface level, whatever.
I have to point this out. Growing up, I remember someone saying, like, oh, I feel like whenever I get married, I'm going to love the way that my husband, when he speaks tongues, and I'm like, shut up. Like, I'm sorry, I said that, I had to say that. Because I think that we read it to way too many things, and that's what... I'm going to digress.
That is very cringy, but whatever.
Yes, it is cringy.
That reveals nothing about their character.
Nothing.
And so, whatever. That would be an interesting topic to talk about. Like, the way someone looks spiritually, is that something that is actually, like, worth holding on to as a quality?
Ooh, write that down. I'll write it down.
I just said it. So.
Okay. We'll remember that.
I'm
going to write it down.
Yeah, I think for me, I wanted to kind of wrap up with this. So, when it comes to the opposite gender, It's about thoughts and it's about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the thoughts that you're having in terms of like not making meaning out of them and trusting yourself. So that's what I mean. When I talk about thoughts, that's what I mean. Now when I'm talking about boundaries, that's self-explanatory. You need to have boundaries. Not even like I said earlier, when you, it's not like you have a friendship with a girl and you're like, okay, listen, if you want to maintain this friendship, we need to have those boundaries. That is not, if you ever get to that point and you're in a relationship, I think there's something wrong there. You should never get to the point where like there should be like clear boundary, unless, whatever. Sorry, I feel like I'm going to go somewhere and I don't want to go there.
That's fair.
Now, the boundaries that I'm talking about is the boundaries that you have for yourself, like within yourself. Your own boundaries that, you know, are about self-control and emotional vulnerability. Like there's places you don't go with the opposite gender if you don't want to get to a deeper level of relationship and even physically as well, you know. So those are for me the two main things that you need to look at when it comes to the opposite gender.
Yeah.
Thoughts and boundaries.
Totally. It's really, again, just kind of wrapping that up of holding your thoughts captive and being able to
have self-control.
Have self-control, period. I think that that's always just going to be helpful and just as a thing in general as you're working through your own thoughts and anxious thoughts to be able to do that. And I'm missing actually, we're going to put it in the notes, but we have something that we've just started. And I think that's going to be helpful in that too, of how to challenge or bring clarity to every anxious thought that you have. And we have a whole community on it. We have a whole community that we're starting called Relationship Anxiety Academy. But we will put it in the notes. I will harp it more for next time, but there is a special going on right now. If you're interested, click the link below on the show notes for either if you're watching it or listening, it'll be all the information will be on there. Just click the link. But it's a special deal going on this week only at a lifetime price. So if you want it, or if you're interested at all in learning more, I put a little teaser, click the link and you'll hear more, learn more about it.
Sounds good.
Boom. Thank you all for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, you felt like this was helpful at all, don't forget to do all the things that you do. If you like an episode, rate it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And write a review. I would love to hear your reviews and hear your thoughts on our podcast and if this has been helpful for you at all.
Yeah. And subscribe.
Yeah.
Like, comment.
We love you all and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for watching. Bye. Or listening. Bye.
Bye.